Always a joy to come back. This is like coming back home. In 19 years since we left Colorado Springs, after many years serving at the children's home and here in this assembly, God has taken us to, took us away, and He's taken us to many and varied ministries and places throughout the country. It's always nice to come back home. So many of your faces are new faces to us. And we just thank our God for what He has done all through the years here at Southside Bible Chapel, then Northeast Bible Chapel, West Side, Cimarron Hills, and many other places in Colorado Springs, where the Lord Jesus is proclaimed as the Savior of sinners, where He is loved and served. Let's turn to Genesis, chapter 28, first of all. We want to look at Jacob this morning. Expect this evening to be looking at the Great Shepherd Psalm, Psalm 23. But we want to notice two highlights in the life of Jacob. One in this chapter and one in the 32nd chapter. And I think that these Old Testament experiences recorded here in the Word of God and in lessons to us to teach us what we need to know of God and how we can walk with Him. You remember that Jacob had by his cunning, his scheming, got his brother Esau to sell his birthright to Jacob for a meal of bean soup. And then, in the previous chapter, Jacob, by deception, claimed the blessing which Isaac was going to give to Esau. Now Jacob's in trouble. Our sin always brings us into trouble. Sin leads to trouble, inevitably. Some of you might say, well, righteousness leads to trouble too. Yes, but that's a different kind of trouble. Sin leads to trouble. Sin enslaves. Sin tangles. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when once we practice to deceive. And so it was in the life of Jacob. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Jacob is fleeing for his life. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. Had a very soft pillow. He had a dream in which he saw, behold, a ladder resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Behold, above it stood the Lord. And then he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Behold, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And Jacob awoke from his sleep. He thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, which means the house of God. So the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. This stone that I have set up on a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And so we find Jacob discovers that God knows where he is, and that God wants to communicate with him. That God wants to be his God, and he wants Jacob to be his child, as it were. And therefore, behold here, behold a ladder, behold the angels of God, behold the Lord stood above it and said, behold, I am with you. Heaven opened. Communication with God. Is that possible for human beings? Was for Jacob, crooked as he was, schemer, supplanter, deceiver as he was, God loved him. Oh, the love of God. The love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the eternal is wonderfully kind. But we make this love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify its strictness with a zeal he will not own. Written by Frederick Faber, one of the old poets that wrote so many poems which speak to us in such a wonderful way about God. Jacob journeys alone, running away from home, with a guilty conscience, scared to death. And as the sun was setting over in the west, he had arrived at this place, which was like a broad table land, with an outcropping of stones, flat, big flat stones. Must have been a desert place. Jacob didn't have a soft bed to lie on that night. Didn't have a soft pillow for his head. He just lay down where he was. He used a stone, one of those flat stones, for his pillow. And of course, sleep doesn't come too easily to one with a guilty conscience. One who is running away, and one who has a bed like this. And so he dreams, and God speaks to him through this dream. Now God speaks to us today through the Bible. We have to be very, very careful and not put much stock in dreams. God speaks to us through his word today, and by his spirit that he has made to dwell in us who know him. But in those Old Testament times, in the days of Jacob, there was no Bible. And God found a way to communicate with Jacob. And it was through a dream. And behold, a ladder. Now back in the 11th chapter of Genesis, men tried to build a tower that would reach to heaven so that they could climb up to heaven. You know what they put on top of that tower, or planned to put on top of it? Ziggurat, the zodiac. the worship of spirits, evil spirits, astrology. It wasn't the worship of the living and true God. And this ladder that Jacob dreamed about was not a ladder by which he could climb to heaven. No, on this ladder, the angels of God, the messengers of God were ascending and descending. God could be Jacob's God right there where he lay on those stones that night. Jacob didn't know that, but he's learning it. And of course, heaven opened. Isn't that wonderful? And behold, there stood at the top of that ladder the Lord. And the ladder speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that out when we read what the Lord himself said to Nathanael at the end of John chapter 1. I'm not going to turn to it. We don't have time. But the Lord himself is the ladder. He told Nathanael, you'll see the angels of God ascending and descending on me. These messengers of God sent for the benefit of human beings, ascending to report to God, descending to serve us, who shall be the heirs of faith. Then the Lord spoke to him and said, I am the Lord. And he said, I will give you. And your descendants will be like the dust of the earth and will spread out all over the earth. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And then the Lord gets very personal. And he says, behold, I am with you. Oh, how wonderful to be able to claim that for ourselves. We who have looked away to the Lord Jesus Christ in simple faith, seeing ourselves as poor lost sinners, coming to the place of repentance, turning around and putting our faith in Him. Oh, He says, I am with you. And He says, I will watch over you. Don't be afraid, Jacob. Jacob was scared to death. He says, don't be afraid. I will watch over you. And he's saying that to you and me today. I will watch over you. Wherever you go. Oh, Dorothy and I can testify that God has done that with us, unworthy as we are. He's watched over us. He's taken care of us wherever we go. All through the many years and many miles and many places that we have lived and worked. And he says, I will bring you back to this land and I'll not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And then Jacob awoke. And he said, oh, this place is awesome. He said, this is the house of God. The Lord is in this place. I didn't realize it. I didn't know it. This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven. And any place in the world is the gate of heaven. Any place any poor sinner will come and put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I first trusted him riding my horse to school when I was just about 11 years of age. My younger brother first trusted him when he was walking through the cornfield going after the cow to bring them in. My father, Lewis Cocking, trusted the Lord when he was milking the cows one morning. You can be saved and know that you're going to heaven, that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior wherever you are. And whenever you come to the point that you're willing to repent and turn in simple faith to Him. Jacob apparently went to sleep. He slept well the rest of the night. He woke up in the morning, early when the sun began to come up. He took the stone that he had slept on, and poured oil on it, and raised it up, and called it Bethel, the house of God. Now Jacob goes on, and he goes to Padan Aram, to Haran. At Bethel, Jacob learned what God is. And at Haran, in these coming chapters, he learned what man is. And for the next chapters, so we get over to the 32nd chapter, some 20 or 21 years come and go. And it's amazing that there's no altar in Haran. We do not find Jacob mentioning the name of God in these years. They seem like a lapse in his life. He met God at Bethel. When he found out that God was a God that wants to communicate with human beings, and that he makes a way by which he can communicate with us human beings. But Jacob goes on with his own scheming and spends all of these years suffering under the hands of a man who was a greater schemer than he was. He met one who was more than his match. And then we come to chapter 32, and Jacob is leaving Haran. After some 20, 21 years, he has wives, he has a family, he has flocks and herds. God has blessed him. Even though during these years Jacob has not been a worshiper, still God has blessed him. Years of just standing still, so to speak, in his Christian life, not going on to know God and trust Him as he might have. And yet God blessed him. And now he hears that Esau is coming to meet him as he leaves. And again he's scared to death. Guilty conscience at work again. I schemed against him and took his birthright. I schemed and deceived him, my father, and took the blessing. And now Esau is going to come and kill me, I suppose. And Jacob is scared to death. He needs a God who was with him. And he'd forgotten what God had said, apparently. He didn't realize that God was with him, protecting him, keeping him, leading him on. Isn't our God a gracious God? Hasn't it been that way with you and me so many times? Like that great shepherd psalm, he restores my soul, and then he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Jacob's made every preparation he can to meet Esau. We come to the 22nd verse of chapter 32. And there's a little title in my Bible. It says, Jacob wrestles with God. Well, I'd rather think of it as God wrestling with Jacob, because that's the way the account reads. And sometimes this is used as a man wrestling with God in prayer, and I don't believe a word of it. Because it's God who has come to wrestle with Jacob. to bring him to the point where he will be a broken man, a dependent man, where he will go on and trust the Lord instead of his own natural ability to scheme and deceive and so on. Let's read a few verses here, the rest of the chapter, 22nd verse. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." "You should have known, shouldn't you?" But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, which means the face of God, saying, "It's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his feet. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not include them in the patch to the socket of their hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So first of all, here we find that he was alone. And God has to get each one of us alone in order to deal with us and teach us the things that we need to know. Jacob had gone on all these years since God had first communicated with him without reaching out to God in simple faith, trusting him, and enjoying communion and fellowship with his God. He could have known that communion and fellowship. And God gave him, in spite of his scheming and not because of it, so Jacob thought that he was getting these things because of his scheming. And he's working, 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 and working. So God puts Jacob in a place where he's alone. Alone. Hard to get alone today. Have you tried it lately? You get alone, all alone. Away from all the noise and confusion of this world. From all the radios and television and the recorders playing and whatever else, God is going to speak to us. He has to get us alone with himself. So Jacob finds himself alone. And as he's there alone, with everything he owns and all of his family across the brook, across the stream, Jacob is there alone. It's dark. You know how it is in the darkness and in a strange place. Have you ever been there? I have many times. Seems like all the shadows are scary. You wonder what's out there. Well, of course, I was born and raised on a farm. Spent many of my years out where there were no people, alone. So that's where I feel comfortable. But those who've been raised in the city don't feel comfortable when they're out in a place like that. But Jacob wasn't comfortable tonight because he had a guilty conscience. And he afraid of Esau. And then, first thing you know, a man was there struggling with him. I don't know what he thought. Perhaps he thought that this was somebody sent from Esau to kill him right there. So Jacob puts up a good fight. He resists. And he resists. It's a serious thing to resist God. And human beings, and natural as we are, and often carnal as we are, we begin to resist God's dealings with us, don't we? As if he were opposing us. As if he were not going to be good to us. As if he were going to do something bad to us. We resist God's dealings with us. But it's a very serious thing to resist God's dealings with us. And so they wrestle. And they wrestle. And they wrestle. Until daybreak. And then when the man... Now who was this man? Well, you watch as we go down the chapter and you'll see that this man was no ordinary man. This is the Lord himself. Yet the Lord lets Jacob put up this good fight. He lets him resist all night long. What a long, tiring night that must have been. And any time we're resisting God, it's always a long, tiring night. Seems that it will never end. When will we give in? And the man saw that he could not overpower him. He touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Our hips have an unusual anatomical structure. As people get older, sometimes the hip joint wears out. I remember dear old Nettie Tischhauser, woman that I knew when I was just a boy and a young man back in Iowa. She was a veterinarian's wife, and I worked for the veterinarian and stayed with them a lot. And I was going to school, and she got old, and her husband was gone to heaven. She moved out to the West Coast, and we went to see her a number of times when we were out there, and she had hip trouble. One of her hips pained her so that she could hardly walk, even with a cane. They took her into the hospital, even though she was way up in her 80s, and they operated on her and put in a new hip. And she told us when we went into the hospital this year, why, she said, when I woke up from the anesthetic, the pain was all gone. Well, Jacob didn't have any hip operation after this. Tendon, which fastens the hip joint together, when that tendon is torn, you're in bad shape. And Jacob was in bad shape, and he would be for the rest of his life. How can a man wrestle when he's hip? He couldn't wrestle, so he began to cling. That's the place that the Lord wanted him to come to in the first place, isn't it? And my children were young. I used to get down on the floor and play with them. Sometimes I would act like a wild animal, and I'd growl and make all kinds of awful noises, and they would have a lot of fun for a little bit, and then first thing, it got too much for them, and when they couldn't stand it anymore, you know what they did? Every one of them, they'd run and throw their arms around my neck. They didn't want a wild animal, they wanted... Well, Jacob just throws his arms around the Lord's neck. And all he can do now is hang on. All he can do is cling. And then the Lord said to him, what's your name? What's your name? Jacob. And I can see him looking down as he said, Jacob, ashamed. Crooked, supplanter, schemer, Deceiver. That's my name. And perhaps all the years that have come and gone, Pastor Jacob's mind, all the things that he had done in his own natural scheme. And just Jacob. The man says, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, a prince with God, a new name. Our God, when we cling to him, then he begins. That's the place that the Lord wanted him to come to in the first place, isn't it? When my children were young, I used to get down on the floor and play with them. Sometimes I would act like a wild animal, and I'd growl and make all kinds of awful noises, and they would have a lot of fun for a little bit, and then first thing it got too much for them, and when they couldn't stand it anymore, you know what they did? Every one of them, they'd run and throw their arms around my neck. They didn't want a wild animal, they wanted their daddy back. Well, Jacob just throws his arms around the Lord's neck. And all he can do now is hang on. All he can do is cling. And then the Lord said to him, what's your name? What's your name? Jacob. And I can see him looking down as he said, Jacob, ashamed. Crooked, supplanter, schemer, deceiver, that's my name. And perhaps all the years that have come and gone flashed through Jacob's mind, all the things that he had done in his own natural scheme. And just Jacob. The man says, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, a prince with God, a new name. Our God, when we cling to him, then he begins to bless us. You know, one of my favorite passages, you've heard me say this before perhaps, is in Revelation. Look at chapter 22. Where it says, his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be written in their foreheads. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. Oh, my service here on earth has been filled with failure, mistakes, and many, many things. I have to look down like Jacob did that day. Just be ashamed. But it won't be that way then. I'll have the opportunity to serve him without sin and failure, mistakes, and all the rest. You know what comes into our hearts, selfishness, pride, all of these things come in and begin to take over. Except for the grace of God, we'd be no good at all, would we, for him. But he's given us his gracious Holy Spirit to live within us and enable us. And he takes all our failure. And he presents it to the Father through himself as perfect. Our great high priest. Our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, how he meets all of our needs. And so he gets a new name, and then he gets a blessing. And then he has a new beginning. The sun, verse 31, the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel. He was limping because of his hip. And as we look at the rest of the life of Jacob, we find that from this time on, Jacob was a new man. Indeed, truth was a new beginning. Jacob begins to build altars He begins to worship the living and true God whom he has come to know and to whom he has to now cling. Jacob is a cripple from now on. He goes out and cuts himself a piece of wood and makes a staff, cane, that he can use for walking, and limps on that the rest of his life. But all Jacob now knows the God who only means him good. And yet even in all these years, we see Jacob making many mistakes. We see Jacob despondent in many times. Things going against him. Well, when God was just working out things in his family and the life of Joseph, for example, Jacob said, all these things are against me. He had a way of getting despondent and discouraged like we do. Were they all against him? You read the record, no. God was working out his perfect plan and purpose. And these things weren't all against him. They were all for him. And of course, he could hardly believe his ears when he found out that Joseph was still alive. And he could hardly believe his eyes when he laid his eyes upon Joseph again. Now, the man who was the ruler of the whole land of Egypt under the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh left everything in Joseph's hands, made him control everything. And so we find Jacob down in chapter 47, verse 7. He's down in Egypt. And we read that Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh, that mighty monarch, that dictator of that land. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, notice what it says, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And in Hebrews 7:7, we're told the lesser is blessed by the greater. And so we see Jacob still leaning on the top of his staff, but rising up in stature as a man of God who could bless the dictator, the mighty monarch of the land of Egypt. Pharaoh asked him, how old are you? Jacob said to Pharaoh, the years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. Something sad about this. As Jacob looks back over his life, he thinks about how few and difficult his years have been. Well, I guess I'm like Jacob. But I look back over life, which is mostly gone now, but then few and difficult. And yet God has been my God. And where sin abounded, grace superabounded. There's no problem too hard for our God. Nothing too difficult for him. And over in the next chapter, or at the end of this 47th chapter, verse 28, Jacob lived in Egypt 17 years, and the years of his life were 147. When the time drew near for Israel to die, notice he's called Israel by the Holy Spirit, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, put your hand under my thigh and promise that you will show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. But when I rest with my fathers, carry me up out of Egypt and bury me where they are buried. I will do as you say, he said. Swear to me, he said. Then Joseph swore to him, notice, and Israel worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And you and I learn to have continual communion and fellowship with our God knowing that the heavens are open, that He cares, that He sees us, that He knows us, that He loves us. And oh God forbid that we should have many years of lapse as Jacob had, but let us day by day get alone with our God and cling to Him. Yes, and daily we need to confess to Him as the Spirit of God brings before us those things in our lives which are not well pleasing to Him. We need to confess them to Him. And still clinging to Him, He will bless us. And we'll have new beginnings every day to the end of this journey here on earth. Oh, may God grant that it might be so. Oh, Father, we thank You for these Old Testament pictures which have so much in them for us. May we come to know You better day by day, to really communicate with You, through reading Your Word, listening to You, and through speaking to You in prayer. May we cling to You, help us as we are, and trust You all the days of our life. And may we be a blessing to others as Jacob was to Pharaoh. And may we worship as we too lean on the top of our staff. We thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ who died for us and rose again, who's coming. And we're looking for You, Lord Jesus, too. We ask You to bless Your word to each one of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of us, for His name's sake.